In this passage, it uses an analogy to get our attention. And it uses an analogy that we can really understand. But we have to understand one word in the passage first. That we go down and it says in verse 23, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now, we have glasses in our home, don't we? You know, I'll get sometimes something to drink at the house, whether it be tea, lemonade, or soda, or water, or ice water. And you put it in a glass, and you can't really see yourself in that glass. And really, the word used there is not a glass. It should be a mirror, better translation. Although, if we do just take a few moments to maybe just give a little background, is that the mirrors that we have today are not anything like the mirrors that they had back at the time that James was writing this. Mirrors at that time were made from brass, silver, and if you were really wealthy, they were made from gold and they were polished. Polished to the point where you could see yourself in it, but it did not give the type of, I don't know if it's real beneficial for us to be able to see yourself that clear, right? You know, and you go back and you buy, if you purchase antique furniture at all and you buy a dresser set that has a mirror on, a lot of times they call that silvering on the back, don't they? Is that what they call that? A lot of times that silvering begins to wear off and you don't get quite a good reflection. That might be a closer actuality to what they could see in their mirrors. But we've grown up and we've had mirrors around us ever since we were little. I can't remember the first time that I ever looked at myself in a mirror, because I'm sure it probably scared me. Okay? I can remember being outside when my oldest granddaughter, who's graduating already, when she was a toddler and she was, you know, walking around the house like this, how they do, and she was out back and she saw her shadow for the first time. And that is always so comical, because she cried and turned and ran. And this kept following her, and she was pretty well hysteric. So she got to grandma or grandpa, and then she learned what a shadow was. And she always had a buddy that was with her, right? Now, I can remember having animals in the house, and we had a cat in the house years ago. And to see a cat see themselves in the mirror sometimes as they think it's another cat, and then they do some pretty strange things. They jump and they hiss and they're running at the mirror. And so, you know, we all grew up with mirrors in our life, right? And so what James does is he uses an analogy with mirrors, or an example with mirrors, if you could say. And here's what he says. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And then he goes, and so he's talking about the fact that they looked in the mirror, and they saw that there needed to be something done. They at least looked in the mirror. And they were either too busy, or they were distracted, and they walked away, and they forgot. Okay? Then the second one goes on, and it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so we are having the mirror defined for us, and the mirror is the Word of God. That's very simple. It's not anything new. I'm sure you've read something on that. I'm sure you've heard something taught on that before. But we're going to look at that, because we've all pretty well grown up with mirrors all around us. I remember coming as a little boy or to Sunbury before the mall was, and you always came to Sunbury to get your school clothes. And they had sidewalk sales, and you had JCPenney, and you had the Randerick, and you went in there and you could get a Coke, and you could a little booth there, and you always had lunch when you came. And so, you know, now we're taking a stroll down memory lane, right? And when you went into JCPenney for your clothes, it was interesting because, see, then, and it was always a horrible time to go, because I just never really liked that. I was never really big on putting on clothes, you know. I mean, I put on clothes, but I mean trying on clothes. Okay, there we go. And that, I didn't say that on purpose. That was a slip there. But So you always went for all the kids, and so there's nothing even more boring than in a department store waiting for someone to, how about it, fellas, amen? Amen. I think department stores would be go a whole lot farther ahead if they just had a man cave where the wife could check their husband in and get a piece of paper so she gets the right one when she goes home, right? And then say, honey, I'll be back, and just make sure there's something to drink there, some chips or pretzels, and maybe one side of the wall, football game, the other side of the wall, basketball, and then in the middle, maybe some video games, and then... Okay, so I go into JCPenney, and here I am, a little guy, probably 7, 8, 9, and you always had to wear school clothes. You had play clothes, but you always had to wear school clothes. And then you stood in a mirror, and it was really interesting, and I remember this because the mirror was angled three ways. You had the straight one, and then you had the two on the side. So you could stand there and go, right? And you could see you didn't have to turn around. Or then if you did turn around, then your mom looked, and she seen if it was all right. Then you got the word, then you say, okay, those fit. Then you went to the barbershop when you were a kid, right? And you still go to the barbershop. And old Seal Boyer in Freeburg, I remember Seal. And he shook a little bit, and so you were a little jagged there a little bit once in a while. But he was a really nice guy. And he would always want you to get a mohawk. Have you come for a mohawk? Well, no. As a matter of fact, I wanted my hair as long as I could. But anyways, what he would do is when he was done, he would sit you and you would face the big mirror, and then he'd take a little mirror and he'd go like this, so you could look in the mirror and you could see the back of your head, right? Oh, yeah. See, we use mirrors when you drive. Hopefully, you're using a mirror when you're driving, right? I can tell people that don't use a mirror when they drive. They just go, and everybody just goes off the side of the road, and use a mirror when you back up and all this stuff. So our lives are full of mirrors. As a matter of fact, I brought a couple in here today. See, these were taken out of the ladies' bathroom. And so I didn't take them out of the ladies' bathroom. There's new ones in there. And so here's what you're going to do. You're going to go home, get a mirror like that, and you're going to go to the mall this week and say, well, my pastor told me I need to be looking in the mirror. You're going to go, wow, looking pretty good. Yeah, ain't bad at all. Right? Right? But that's what we look in the mirror for, right? If someone walks up to you and says, have you looked in the mirror lately? What are you thinking? And especially if they won't tell you, you are going to find it. As a matter of fact, now watch this. Maybe I'll take a little survey here today. How many ladies right now have a very small mirror in your purse? You put your hand up. Okay. Yeah, very good. Not that you're vain, but you got a mirror. And they did that. They put it in a compact, right? Isn't that what they called it? It makes really good to throw at your husband when he's not listening to you, especially if you get the hard cover that it doesn't break the mirror. So just a couple ideas there, ladies. So as we look at this, usually what happens is each morning we rise and usually visit a mirror in our regimen of preparing for the day. I do. I go over. That's the first thing I do. I look in the mirror. It's an awful thing to do right away in the morning. But I get there. So in our passage this morning, we need to realize first the mirror that James is talking about, and I already said that, would be quite different. But it doesn't take away from the passage. Okay? As a matter of fact, I think, if anything, the development that come along with mirrors probably brings across the point of the passage even more pointedly into our lives. So if you're following along on the handout sheet, we come to number one, is God contrasts our response to His Word with looking into a mirror. This is what He's talking about. All the different things. Think about it today. How many times today have you referenced a mirror? Now, watch this. I'm just going to go, I think everybody's pretty well referenced a mirror today. Okay? Yeah. Okay? Well, if you're not, you're lucky, okay? But what God does is this. He contrasts our response to His Word with looking in a mirror. So number two is this. Doers of the Word are contrasted with hearers only. So now He says this. Okay, you're looking in the mirror. And when you're looking in the mirror, you are looking into God's Word. Now, that can be done several different ways. Looking into God's Word can be a private reading of God's Word, right? Got me? It can be listening to a sermon where the Word of God is being taught. Okay? It can be studying in a Sunday school class where the Word of God is being taught. It can be listening to preaching, whether it be on the radio, sermon on the radio, I think I already said that, or a sermon here. Tape series that you have bought, and can't call them tape series anymore, that really dates us. The MP3 series, right? Or the digital file series. And yeah, I've got them too, so I'm not quite that old. One of these days, I'll reach the point where I have to sign the paper that I'll no longer progress, right? You know, that's what you do. I think the government comes around, and then you get old. But, so, what we have here now is, now we have our response to His Word. Well, the different ways that we are affected by His Word can all become, and what James is talking about, is it can become routine. Notice this, number two, doers of the Word are contrasted with hearers only. And really, in verse 22 is what he's saying, it is not enough to just hear the Word of God. Now, a lot of times we take this passage and we say, okay, be you doers of the Word, not hearers only. And we think, well, those hearers are people that are not listening. That's not true. That's not what that passage is teaching. That passage is teaching people that sit and listen attentively, whether it be reading their Bible, whether it be listening to a message, or whether it is participating in a Sunday school class. And they are listening. They are hearing. But that is all that they are doing. They know facts. They'll know facts about the Word of God. They'll know facts about scriptural principles. They'll know that Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. They'll know that God spoke this world into existence. Amen? A hearer only. They will not just walk out and say, duh, I don't know what he said. Now, I've listened to some people already where when they were done, it's like they were either awfully smart or I was also awfully very stupid. Right? And so what we have to realize here is that a hearer only is not a person who is sitting in church and saying, well, I wonder what time he's going to get done today. And, you know, I hope this roast that we have in the crock pot's as good as it was the other week. Or, you know, I hope he gets done enough that the restaurant's not that full. You know, that stuff all happens, doesn't it? Come on now, amen? I've sat in a pew already. As a matter of fact, you don't know what I'm thinking when I'm preaching. Right? You know, we can be thinking about 2-3 different things. But now, look, doers of the Word are contrasted with hearers only. Notice, first of all, the hearer only is at least credited with hearing the Word. What God is saying, that it is not enough to only hear the Word. We must obey it. Here's the thing. Here's the little check mark there. We must translate the Bible into action. And that's what we must do. I can't think of a better theme to begin a new year in our life is to challenge us. You know, you say, well, you talk about Bible translation, you must be talking about a new version or a new translation to reach some tribe that doesn't have the Bible in their language. Well, that is a noble thing, and several people have the ability to do that. But every one of us need to translate the Bible into our life where it shows up in obedience to what we are hearing. That's what he's saying. So some of the pitfalls that we are when it talks about being hearers only is, well, okay, I like church. I like the fellowship of the church. I do. I like church. I do. Don't you? I'm just trying to be as honest as I can. I like the fellowship of church. I like to be around Christians. I mean, if you want to be feel on edge, I just really don't like to be around people that swear a lot. Do you like to be around people that swear a lot? I don't care for that. That puts an atmosphere in the conversation that is just like, you know, it's kind of edgy. Makes you feel uncomfortable, right? And so I like church. And if a sermon's exciting, I even like an exciting sermon. You know, I don't like the, you know, ones like that. Don't you? I mean, I hate those. There's times when I preach where I wished I would shut up and go home. You know, I understand that, and I feel your pain deeply, and I mean that sincerely. I listen to him upstairs and say, "Whew, man, I was off yesterday. Don't know where I was off to, but I was off." But and so what happens is if we're hearers only, we learn that there is a process to going to church, and this is what we do now, and this is what we do now, and this is what we do now, and then we leave. And it's like, and you may like the pastor, you may like your Sunday school teacher, you may like the crowd that comes to church, and you might say, that First Baptist Church is a great church, and you could still be a hearer only of the Word. Because a lot of times what happens is we think the hearer only is the person that walks around, I hate God, and I hate Christians, and don't talk to me about walking with the Lord. No. What they've done is they have settled into a ritual routine in their life. They probably read their Bible on a regular basis at home. They'll pick up the daily bread out here that we try to provide. Or you'll subscribe to some other devotional. Or you will take a prayer sheet home and you will pray diligently for people. You say, wow, Pastor, you're really getting into this. No, look what James is saying. James uses two times in this passage the word deceive. That's what he does. And you know what? It is not me deceiving you. It is not your Sunday school teacher deceiving you. It is not your friends deceiving you. It is us deceiving ourselves. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it goes on and says. He says, deceiving your own selves. And so, as we move on, doers are translating the Bible into action. That's number three. We must translate the Bible into action. So, doers are translating the Bible into action. And I find this aspect of ministry exciting. God takes His Word, and He brings it to us. God does that. You say, well, you're the pastor. Well, yeah, and I preach, and I work on a sermon. And here's what the amazing thing about it is this. And I wrote it like this. A preacher will preach a sermon, and God in His power will take the believer and direct him or her. Many times, as a pastor, I hear someone say, it was like you were in our car on the way to church. Or it was like you were at our house this week. The message was spot on to what we are dealing with. Well, yeah, that's great. You know what that is? That is God being omnipresent in your life, in my life. I find that happens all the time. Happens in Sunday school class in my life. It happens, I was listening to a message coming over today, and I wished I could have just sat out in my car till it was over with, because it was just a wonderful message. Well, it was just absolutely incredible. And what was God doing? Several times, as I have traveled extensively over the years just to minister to people who are hurting and had the opportunity to listen to the radio, just absolutely incredible. That's the ministry of God ministering His Word to us. Amen? Sometimes I know it's just black and white, right? Just black and white. It's incredible how you can read it and God can minister to your heart just through something that you read. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. But you know why? Because God knows me. God knows you better than we know ourselves. Now, I think I know myself pretty good, right? And I might say this to God. Well, you know, God, I think I need this for Dave Dressler, right? When God really knows what I need. And I find out this, that if I desire in my heart to not just be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word, you know what He does? That ministry of the Holy Spirit, that ministry of illumination, where His Word comes home in power in our lives. Amen? Now here's what happens. So we're faced with a response, are we not? Because this is what this passage is talking about. If I am looking in the mirror, always demands a response, does it not? Always demands a response. Do you find yourself when you go to the department stores? Now, I know Walmart don't do this a whole lot. I don't think so. Is they, on their posts, they put mirrors, especially in the place where they're selling clothing, right? Like JCPenney or Macy's or whatever. And you know, when I find myself walking through there, I'm always going, not that I'm vain, but, you know, if we put these all around the church, okay, I'm going to put one up here. And I was going to have one out in the thing there today, but I didn't get that far. So I knew where these were because I saw them when we were in for prayer on Thursday morning. And so, well, I'll put this one up here for you guys. Okay, now, yeah, you say, look at that, huh? Woo! Okay, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to walk around. And if you're like me, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to JCPenney? And what do you do when you see a mirror? You know what I think? Man, that mirror makes me look fat. I can't believe that. I love to find, on your car mirrors, it says this. Objects may be, closer than they appear. That's because they're smaller, right? Is that not true? Right? It projects them far away. I like those mirrors. Woo! Look at that! I still think that our bathroom mirror has a magnification of about 1.5. I do. I think so. It's just like, and it bothers me. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And so, and then the ones you go at Knoebels and Funhouse that makes you look like this, you know, or you know, you got a big head, you got real little feet. Yeah, see, right? We all know that. But here's, when we look in the mirrors, it demands a response of us. Now, as we look into God's Word, it always demands a response of us. Now, some people say, oh, you need to read the Word of God every day, and you need to read it till you become under conviction. And it's just like, well, you know, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. And I'll tell you why. Because what we're doing is we're putting a standard that we cannot find there. God, I am confident of this one thing, that God is actively working in my life and God is actively working in your life, whether we are aware of it or not. And some things take a while for Him to get through to us. Amen? I'm just going to put it that way. I don't know how else to put it. It's like, well, what are you talking about? See, you know, I use my dad as an example. I witnessed to my dad for 39 years. And you know, I pretty well just about gave up on him. Right, Rich? And I saw God do something in his life that I couldn't do. You know why? Because God wanted me to know that. And when I left that day when he received Christ, I'll tell you what, I realized that God was actively working in my life and my father's life for all those years, and I wasn't aware of it. Amen? And so, my response, it demands a response. See, doers are translating the Bible into action. The Holy Spirit really does live within us. He has a program to change you, to change me. Amen? That's what he wants to do. You ever hear people say this? Oh, I just don't think I can change. Right? Do you ever hear people say that? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Right? Maggie was 9 years old and we taught her to shake. That's pretty good for an old dog, right? But, buddy, we found the treat that she likes, man. I'll tell you, she wakes up every morning before she wants to go outside, she is standing at the side of my bed. I'm getting up whining because she wants her stinky treats. That's what Blake calls it. So we go downstairs, and I start walking out in the back, and I reach up, and I just rattle the bag. She's standing right there because she thinks that I want to go outside, and when I rattle the bag, she knows she's going to get those six treats. And when they're done, she knows six is it, and she's done. Then she'll go out. So she needs to be bribed to go out. So, but anyways. Now, number four is this. Hearers only are deceiving themselves. This is what we're talking about. Now, it's interesting. What do you think deception is? Deception is. We might say sometimes that we set ourselves up for the fall. Here we are. It's the new year. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm certainly not dieting, but you might be trying to diet a little bit, okay? I figure I'm right on course, 2 pounds a year till I'm 70, and then when I'm in the coma, I'll take it all off, and everybody will say just how wonderful he looks in the casket, okay? Got it all worked out, okay? Kept one of my old suits that'll fit me in the whole deal. I'm all ready, so. But don't you sometimes set yourself up if you're dieting? You'll say, you know what, we're going to have a gathering at the house, so I'm going to go get that dozen donuts just for the gathering. And I'm going to get some ice cream for the gathering. And I'm going to make my favorite pie for everybody to enjoy at the gathering. Well, the gathering takes place, and you've made enough for 200 people to come to your house, and 25 people came, and then you say, oh, we have all this food left over. Right? Amen? You know what I call that? That's called setting yourself up, right? Yeah. So I won't say that it's deceiving yourselves, although it is setting yourself up. That would be a little strong to say this here. But the Bible says that when we fall into a routine of life, watch this. Years ago, I had a lady come to me. Young lady. I thought she was a good Christian. Believe she is to this day. I was preaching on some things, and she said, you know something, Pastor? I've heard everything that you've said already. Well, I've realized as a pastor, if you've been saved for 20 years, I'm sure that you have heard a message on looking in the mirror, right? Oh, yeah. I am not saying really anything new. I may be presenting some things that you've not thought about for a while and challenging you from God's Word. You know what she was saying? I'm where I need to be. Because that's what we say. If God's Word is not changing our life. I'm not even being ignorant towards her. I think she's a wonderful lady. She doesn't go here. I mean, that was in my former ministry. But, see, the one is deceived and the other is blessed. That's what it says. Now, deceiving is this. Deceiving is literally reasoning beside or alongside. And I find this very interesting. Sometimes definitions don't necessarily fit what we call it. Literally, reasoning beside or alongside, as in beside oneself. The word was used in mathematics to refer to a miscalculation. Isn't that interesting? I never knew that. The word deceive is a mathematical term used to refer to a miscalculation. So what does that mean to me? Professing Christians who are content with only hearing the word have made a serious spiritual miscalculation. That's what it's talking about. For our lives. Why? If we continue to learn what we ought to do, but do not do it, we become, and here's what happens, we become depressed. We become frustrated. And we become callous. That's what happens. Now watch this. Notice this. How did I set the table? Hearers only are people who traditionally like church. They like fellowship with believers. Do you ever understand? Now, here's the thing, is that why, if anybody, Or let me back up and put it this way, because I talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If the ministry of the Holy Spirit really is to produce in the Christian's life his fruit, right? And that fruit being love. Why do we find it so hard to love as Jesus loved? Joy. To come and lay aside all the burdens of the day and to come into his presence with singing and with joy. But not only that, to live in a world knowing this. I am his, and I trust him completely with everything in my life. That's real joy. Amen? How about peace? Same thing. And then into the downside of the fruit of the Spirit, if I could put it that way. The long suffering. The gentleness. The meekness, right? See, if I'm called upon to be meek, that means that there's something in my life that's happening that wants me not to be meek. Right? Oh, yeah. And then self-control and all those others. Impression without expression leads to depression. And one more side note is that everything we hear, we ultimately always become more responsible to God. Every sermon you sit through, every time you listen to something on radio, you say, I'm going to go home, I'm turning off the cable. Oh no, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm not going to listen to the radio anymore. I become more responsible to God, to whom much is given. What does the Bible say? Much is required. So today, there he is. I see him. See, I had to look in there. So I can only see from here down, so my tie's long enough. I had to tuck my tie in the back of the shirt because the tail didn't fit in. It swings all around, and then it looked like I was shopping at the thrift store again. Right? And oh, it almost fits. Don't you love something that almost fits? Don't you just love that? No, I'll tell you what. When you're out shopping, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror of your car, when you visit a restroom out somewhere and you glance in that mirror, won't we allow it to be a reminder to us of James 1, where God wants me to do something about what we see when we gaze into his perfect law of liberty to change our lives. Amen? And let's pray and ask God for the courage to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we thank you just for a simple lesson. A lesson probably known by everybody in this room. And yet, Lord, your word says that we can be in the process of deceiving ourselves. Help us to be students of your word. Help us to be looking intently, but looking to obey you.